It's hard to find the time to read all of the best articles on Bitcoin and the crypto economy. So let me read them for you. This is a Crypto Economy Quick Read. Welcome back to the Crypto Economy. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we are reading a piece today by John Carvalho that I actually think will be a really good follow-up to the principles discussed in the HOTEP debate, the HOTEP Jesus debate with between me and Brendan Lee, because there were a lot of major principles that I didn't really get to touch on because we kind of fell back into the same, arguing the same points kind of again and again. And I think this piece will actually be a great one. It's a short read. But it'll be a great one to lead us into a discussion to really ram the concept of who secures Bitcoin home. And oddly enough, John Carvalho's, which if you do not know, he is Bitcoin Error Log. That is his Twitter tag. And he is part of the amazing Bit Refill team. So do not forget to check that out. But for now, we are jumping into his article on Medium titled, Who Secures Bitcoin? Surprisingly, 10 years after Bitcoin's creation, most people still don't know the correct answer to this question. A tweet by John Carvalho, Who Secures Bitcoin? 39% say miners, 44% say nodes, 4% say devs, and 12% say other. 56% of respondents don't understand Bitcoin. I assure you, there is a single correct answer. Understanding of Bitcoin behaves like a moving target while we are still in the early adoption phase. It takes years to understand Bitcoin, and we get new Bitcoiners every day. Veterans become complacent and impatient when it comes to repeating lessons learned, and frustrations are piled on due to constant attacks from disinformants and delusionists. So, instead of repeating ourselves over and over to every new entrant, I have written this post as a reference for posterity. Although I'm sure the concepts exist elsewhere, and I doubt this rationale is new, it took me 7 years to distill these concepts into simple, non-technical terms. What is security? Security. Noun. Freedom from risk or danger. Safety. Freedom from doubt, anxiety, or fear. Confidence. Something that gives or assures safety as. Before sorting out who secures Bitcoin, let's agree on what security actually means in this context. Keeping Bitcoin secure means maintaining confidence on what Bitcoin is. What is Bitcoin? You will get the wildest answers if you ask this question, but the truth is so simple and boring that people see right past it. Bitcoin is a store of wealth and a protocol for managing the rights to which keys can transfer control of that value. When I say store of value, I mean that in the literal sense. We are literally assigning a numerical value to an account number. It doesn't even matter whether we all agree to use that value as money or internet points or as an anchor for external taint. In its simplest form, think of Bitcoin as a spreadsheet with two columns, keys and value. Consensus would be so much simpler if I controlled all the Bitcoin. What does it mean to secure Bitcoin? Well, it means to confirm that we agree on what Bitcoin is. Securing Bitcoin means reaching consensus on the information in the database and agreement on the processes used for altering that database. Again, securing Bitcoin is achieving consensus on the database and the protocol used for changing it. What is consensus? Consensus is when all players agree on who owns what. You see, Bitcoin isn't actually immutable in strict terms. If it were, we wouldn't need the protocol or miners at all. The protocol exists to define what the rules are for changing the value store. The immutable part is just an audit history of proof that past changes followed consensus rules. So, who secures Bitcoin? If securing Bitcoin requires consensus on what Bitcoin is, and Bitcoin is a database of values assigned to keys, and Bitcoin has a protocol for reassignment of keys, then securing Bitcoin can only be done by your node. Nodes, nodes, nodes. In the end, you secure Bitcoin. But the only time that matters is when you agree with someone else on what Bitcoin is, and the only way that you can express yourself to others is via your node. You can try to abstract this and say that hodlers of last resort secure it, or that you can express yourself by buying or selling, but the only way you can actually communicate yourself is via enforcement of the protocol. What about miners? Miners are suppliers of blocks, nothing more. Nodes demand consensus-compatible blocks as a vessel for key reassignment. Miners' ability to influence the protocol is limited to the wiggle room within the protocol's magic numbers. For example, they can limit block size if they can cooperate and coordinate over shared incentives, and they can exclude transactions in the same way. But when a miner exercises any power that is detrimental to consensus, they approach high risks at a quick pace. The same dynamic applies to reorgs, 51% attacks, etc. These attacks are not only risks to miners in that there is a cost in sacrificing blocks or failing probabilities, they run the higher risk of being entirely ignored and excluded from extra protocol consensus. The market itself. Nodes actually define what a miner is. Miners propose blocks containing new key reassignments, and mining, the proof of work, is the scheme designed for creating a reliable marketplace for the current cost of that opportunity. Miners secure nothing but their own relationship to Bitcoin. All miner attack and failure modes can be transcended by node consensus. What about devs? Many respondents to the poll above think all three are needed for security: miners, nodes, devs. However, Bitcoin protocol developers and miners are actually adversaries to consensus. But John, they fix bugs. They scale Bitcoin. Sure. They help Bitcoiners out a lot in practice by adding optimizations and support for features and new key schemes that leverage Bitcoin's qualities. But all actors seeking to change Bitcoin in any way are indistinguishable from attackers without consensus. The only way to achieve consensus and communicate what you think Bitcoin is with your node. All nodes are not equal. It's not enough to run a node and express your consensus. In the end, only nodes with skin in the game will enforce a definition of Bitcoin that is valuable to them. This gets into the concept of an economic node, a term which attempts to capture the concept of a player in the Bitcoin game who has attributed external value to his BTC and is representing real risk burden as an economic actor on the network. A non-economic node is an unreliable signal of consensus. What is an economic node? Basically, if you do not have Bitcoin exposure to secure, you have nothing to enforce, thus no significant incentive to act within consensus. Specifically, an economic node is one that has transactions to verify. When the network confirms your key reassignments, you are creating and receiving reliable signals of consensus. So I thought this was a really great, succinct explanation of the principles involved, as he said, without any of the technical, without going into any technical argument here. And but there's a lot to unpack here, I think. Before we get into our discussion, let's go ahead and hit our sponsor, and then we will jump back into this. All right, so again, this article was written by Bitcoin Error Log, which is the Twitter tag for John Carvalho, and he is the CCO at BitRefill. If you don't use BitRefill and you like to play around with Lightning, you're super missing out. BitRefill is like, if something new comes out, it's almost like, boom, BitRefill is going to be the one that I can depend on to actually implement it. And I actually use their service quite a bit. I love BitRefill. So I have absolutely no qualms whatsoever about shilling their shit like crazy. So definitely check out BitRefill.com. And this article is so succinct, and he really does. I'm kind of amazed about how well he just hit principle by principle the core of this argument, just kind of explaining what security is, which I think is really foundational, because if you have a different idea, security is not about like making sure that we have someone else that we can trust. This is about the degree of confidence that what you are using is actual Bitcoin. And the most fascinating thing that when I read this, I was like, oh shit. And this was what immediately had me go, okay, I'm going to read this on the show. And I had to reach out to him immediately. This is like, this article is like a day old, two days old, I think. But that Bitcoin is, I'm going to quote what I highlighted here. Bitcoin is a store of value and a protocol for managing the rights to which keys can transfer control of that value. And when I say store of value, I mean that in the literal sense. We are literally assigning a numerical value to an account number. And that just, I couldn't help but stop for a second and like think about that, because that is so, that is the actual fundamental, this is actually all that's happening here. That it is not about value in the abstract, like, oh, this is worth a lot to me sense. It is value in the literal, like, okay, I've got a blank spot on a spreadsheet. Please enter any value, like a number. Like, it is storing values on this chain of, on this time chain of digital signatures. And I actually love that. That's what it is. It's a giant shared database where people can store values in relation to all the other values on the network, and have an incredible degree of assurance. In fact, no higher degree of assurance anywhere in the amount of confidence or the security that value is explicitly theirs and cannot be challenged by anyone else. That those values are 100% stored and immovable outside of the explicit rules of Bitcoin. And that's just the idea that it, rather than mucking everything up with the store of value in the sense of like, oh, it's worth billions of dollars or it's worth this much, because that gets into some economic idea and how does the market determine what's valuable and what's not and blah, blah, blah. All this circular bullshit that is really nuanced and hard to grasp. But no, it stores a number to an account under an incredibly specific an undeniable or incontestable set of rules as to how that value got there and how those values were actually entered into the ledger, how they came to be a part of this giant ledger. So I just thought that was like, I was like, oh shit, that makes it so much simpler to just kind of start from that foundation and then extrapolate from there. So if this thing is, in fact, just that you can verify these values against the fact that, against a set of protocol rules, against a set of consensus rules, well, that's the only way you know that that value is, in fact, that value as in the number, that number is, in fact, a number that's valid on this giant this global consensus chain, to this global consensus database. And another thing I highlighted about, so what is consensus? Is that the immutable part is just an audit history of proof that past changes followed the consensus rules. That is the only thing that makes it immutable, is that you have a fully auditable history proving that none of the changes that ever happened to this chain, to this database, none of the values that were ever created, edited, or moved within this database were done so outside of the consensus rules. None. That is what makes it immutable. You can prove that. And the only reason, the power that consensus has, another thing that he hits really, like, just straight to the point, is that the value in that consensus is in the fact that other people will reach that same consensus. If your consensus is different from everyone else's, if your rules as to what Bitcoin is, it isn't the same, just like if your idea of how long an inch is, or a foot, or how cold or hot, 20 degrees Celsius or what, blah, blah, whatever it is, whatever your standard is, if yours is not in consensus with the rest of the global network or the market economy that is adopting it, well, then of course, your consensus doesn't really mean anything. It is only when you are in consensus with others about what these rules are that makes it valuable. And that's what I think, to be perfectly honest, pisses off big blockers so much, is that they simply couldn't get consensus. And people, I mean, the amount of anger, I mean, I have been called a fucking idiot and just retarded because I ran a node and I thought it made a difference. And what it is it is a protocol level declaration that this is my speech as to what Bitcoin is. It's my declaration that these are the explicit rules by which I define Bitcoin, and I am merely betting on the fact that the shelling point of the current set of rules, which is unbelievably powerful, will maintain itself. And that is not a very difficult bet to make. In fact, I think you would be stupid, as most blockers end up being, to bet against the shelling point of those rules and the network effect of the reliability of the security of those unbelievable assurances that Bitcoin can offer in storing those values. Because when they actually maintain abstract value, when they actually gain the ability to represent value in real world goods, well, then the security becomes even more paramount, because now the explicit rules, the consensus rules of that ledger, are all that maintain the ability for it to hold that abstract value, the real world value. So entirely in truth, nodes are what secure Bitcoin. And what's funny is I've got an example that I'll use later that I've used in previous, I had two guys take episodes all about like validation and the difference between nodes and miners. And I go into this, and I had actually kind of forgotten about a couple of specific examples I had that really illustrate this point. And I'm going to go back into one in just a bit, but we're not quite there yet. So miners, and this is something I talked about in the Hotep debate quite a bit. Miners do not, they can validate, but that is because they would be running a fully validating like consensus node. But miners do not have to validate. Miners are simply suppliers of blocks. And if they want to validate, that is very important, specifically so that they are in consensus with the nodes, with the protocol itself. Because then if they don't, well, then that's what makes such a huge cost for cheating the network, is that they are actually... they would accidentally or maliciously and on purpose produce a block that was not in consensus. And if it's not consensus compatible, well, then they lose all the amount of work that they put into it. The work is irrelevant. The work that is needed to produce the next block is defined by those nodes. It's defined by the consensus. So to say that the miners run the network is to say that the miners get to choose how much work they put on it. Why would they put more work on it if they could get away with less? It just doesn't make any sense. The blocks are simply a vessel for reassigning the values to new keys. And again, not the value in the abstract, like I can, oh my God, I can buy a house with this, but values in the sense of like one Bitcoin is currently under this key and then moving it to one Bitcoin under this key. And that's just one of the, I highlighted that nodes demand consensus compatible blocks as a vessel for key reassignment. That's it. That's it. And they offer up both a fee and a consensus compatible reward to the miner. And the analogy I've given numerous times is the miner does not decide which rules pay them the most money. The rules themselves determine which blocks will actually give them value. So it's just like a miner that does not get to pick which metal that they mine. They might find 20 different metals and ores and different types of materials while they're mining, but that does not mean that they just get to decide which one, when they take to market, carries what price. Gold is determined by the market price, and that market price is determined, or what gold is determined by everyone using a spectrometer to validate that that miner is in fact bringing back explicitly the consensus rules of the atomic weight and chemical rules that make gold gold versus some other element. And if they violate that, well, then it does not have any value anymore. It is because there is a network consensus. And that consensus is not arbitrary. That consensus is not weak. And this is something that I think another major piece of the puzzle that big blockers or you know BSVers, Bcashers, whatever it is, really misunderstand is not only is that not weak, it is unbelievably strong. When people say miners will not cheat because miners would not cheat the protocol because, you know, it would destroy the value of their token or of their currency, that is not at all true. There's a simple analogy to demonstrate that that's not even remotely true when we are talking about when this becomes used as money. Money has an unbelievable network effect. To suggest that if miners minutely change the rules, what they would do is they would change to the degree that they could politically get away with, and they'd have the money to run a political campaign to attempt to change consensus. If nobody is running nodes to actually define what consensus is and they get to define it, they will squeeze it for everything it's worth. And to say that people would just change their currency and it would destroy the value of the currency, given the presumption that we are now using this as widespread money, is similar to saying that whenever the U.S. government created or altered the monetary policy to something that was unpopular, that people would stop using the dollar. Or that when politicians molded a word, like abused the use of a word to make it semantically mean something that it didn't actually do, they used their rhetoric to manipulate and bastardize the use of like certain words, which they do all the time, that we would stop using the English language. The network effect there is so unbelievably powerful that it's absolutely irrelevant, like those individual choices when we're talking about monetary goods. But when we were talking about everyone running nodes, that they actually define the consensus rules, then any changes, any alterations to those things, any alterations to the monetary policy, are evicted. They just aren't valid. So the entire market doesn't even care if they change their monetary policies because it's arbitrary to them. It's totally irrelevant. They're offering up a fee based on explicitly staked consensus compatibility. So if they are saying we will accept key reassignment based on these explicit protocol rules and they simply change, the miners themselves change those protocol rules, well, then they're just simply, there's simply hasn't been a block yet for valid key reassignment. But not only do they not see it, they don't care, the nodes don't care, and there are plenty of times where you have to wait an hour for blocks. I've had to wait an hour for a block. That's not uncommon, and it's of no great concern to me. And if that means I have to wait 12 hours because 70% of the miners decide they want to make a shitcoin that inflates indefinitely. I don't give a shit. I do not care. Like, people are like, oh, well, what are you going to do with your stupid Bitcoin if there aren't blocks coming in? You know, if you or somebody else is scared to death, if you have to wait 2 hours for a block, well, that's not my, I don't care. I don't care. To think that I would give up the consensus rules, I would give up what I defined Bitcoin as for a digital good that has a specific set of, a specific protocol defining what it is because of a 2 hour wait. Like, get some time preference here, guys. Like, this is a long game. If I had to wait 6 days for a block before people, before finally miners came back online and realized that this was not going to happen, I am not concerned. I think the shelling point is strong enough. I think the network effect is strong enough. And I think the consensus rules and security around that protocol is enough that I don't have, that this is not a huge concern for me. And what my, what I think of as a really easy bet is that miners will not take a 99% pay cut to mine a shitcoin out of sheer stubbornness when, and that the nodes, the network, and the market will not just blindly out of fear in a matter of 2 hours switch all of the network software over globally to a shitcoin monetary policy because they're scared they have to wait 2 hours for a block. I think both are the lowest risk bets you could make, that without a, without question, the whole globe of computers, networks, businesses, exchanges, users, everything is not going to immediately update to whatever arbitrary monetary policy the miners decide is best, simply because they're like, oh my God, I gotta wait an hour for a block. And at the same time that those miners are not going to just stubbornly and self-righteously burn through millions and millions of dollars just so that they can get a profit at everyone else's expense, believing that everyone is just going to do what they say. And that leads to another interesting point in this little piece, that nodes actually define what a miner is. And that's so true, that the nodes are the ones that give the explicit, that establish the explicit rules of the current blockchain and the provable history that say what the miner is required to do for the next compatible block. Miners aren't redoing the work on any previous blocks. They don't go back and do anything. All that happens is that a set of consensus rules is defined, is defined within the protocol and within the marketplace. And that is this, that is exactly what establishes what a miner, whether a miner is a miner or not for that network. And that actually leads me to the example that I used and had kind of forgotten about until recently, was that the big block fork of Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, the original fork there, actually proved this point unquestionably, that we saw this happened, that we saw this happen within the market and within the network of nodes, that it is the fully validating nodes that define what the what Bitcoin is or what Bitcoin Cash is. And the reason we know that is because the Bitcoin Cash network was not created with the first Bitcoin Cash block. So let me explain. So Bitcoin Cash forked at block 478,558. And the reason that is the point that the fork actually happened, they actually have those in common. Bitcoin Cash block 478,558 is the same as Bitcoin's block 478,558. And after that, 478,559, Bitcoin mined that block first. And that was the first block that the Bitcoin Cash node network rejected. That was the initial fork. It was that the network said, no, this is not Bitcoin Cash. We are fully validating our history against an explicit set of protocol rules, and this does not fall within that compatibility. This is not Bitcoin Cash. We are waiting for a Bitcoin Cash block. And it took 6 hours to find block 478,559 on the Bitcoin Cash block. All the while, they rejected block after block from the Bitcoin network because the nodes defined the consensus rules. The miners work for those nodes. Now, I honestly think that there could not be a more clear example of what it means for a verifying node, a validating node, to define the network rules. And, you know, everybody talks about, in fact, Connor and Kurt in the previous Bitcoin versus BSV debate on Hotep talked a lot about, you know, Sybil attacks and all this stuff. But understand, you can't Sybil attack the consensus rules. A Sybil attack, for anybody who is not aware, is a signaling mechanism. It's like, it's a good example of manipulating a poll. It doesn't actually mean anything for what real consensus is. It's just an attempt to confuse what the consensus rules are. So when I say you can't Sybil attack the consensus rules, you can't change the consensus rules that way. All you're doing is signaling, like the examples that were given were like Bitcoin XT, Bitcoin Unlimited, Bitcoin Classic, is that you could spin up thousands of nodes. And what's hilarious is that they did. They would spin up hundreds, thousands of AWS nodes in like an incredibly short time period in order to try to make it look like there was way more support for these other implementations and clients than actually existed. But understand, they weren't changing the rules. They weren't able to create Bitcoin XT or Bitcoin Unlimited blocks. They weren't able to, they weren't rejecting or validating based on a completely different set of rules. They were just signaling. They were still Bitcoin compatible nodes. So you can't actually cheat the consensus rules. You can't trick a different validating node into accepting a Bitcoin XT block because there's tens of thousands of Bitcoin XT nodes. That's irrelevant. The only way that those Bitcoin XT nodes actually even show up is if they are still validating per the actual consensus rules. So it's totally social. It's all on the surface. And to suggest that that would actually manipulate what Bitcoin is to say that everybody would freak out because they saw 1,000 Bitcoin XT nodes and install completely different software. But that has so many assumptions. One, it has assumptions that the entire network of nodes is fully aware that there's this bitch fight going on Reddit and Twitter, which the vast majority of Bitcoin and the network and the community are not on Reddit and Twitter. Not everybody follows development like a freak, like me and a lot of these other people, everybody who's deep into this space. People do not follow these projects. Like the vast majority of people are just trying to invest and want to hold what they think is a digital asset that has a lot of potential in the future. Or maybe they're even using it because, you know, they got an app from their friend and they're trying to figure all of these things out, or they've, downloaded Breeze and started playing around with Lightning or whatever the hell it is, but it's irrelevant. The vast majority of people are going to have no fucking clue. They are not going to go on coin.dance and be like, oh no, everybody wants to switch to Bitcoin XT. I must install new software now. Like, that's not how we're talking about a global decentralized network for something that is going to be used as a store of value and money, as a secure, honest monetary good. The assumption that everybody is going to be concerned when 1,000 Bitcoin XT or that are all just signaling, they have nothing to do with actual validation. They're just political posturing, essentially, that this is going to send the whole thing into chaos, is to completely misunderstand how any of it works. It's got nothing to do with validation. And even if you are surrounded by nothing but Bitcoin XT nodes, if you're running a fully validating node, they can't do anything to you. They can't send you fake data. They can't sign a transaction that breaks the rules. You are defining the fact that all of those Bitcoin XT nodes are not your node. It is you who decides what the protocol rules are. And as long as you are in consensus with the rest of the network, which those fake nodes, the non-economic nodes, are irrelevant to, well, then you're fine. You just wait until you get the information that's valid. And that's what a node does by default. It doesn't have to wait. It doesn't freak out. It doesn't get all emotional and hyperventilate when, oh, I can't find a Bitcoin node. It just waits. It just looks. It says these are the rules, and clearly all of this information out here that's just floating around is not those rules. Whether those rules define those, they have networks that define themselves as Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SV, or Ravencoin, or Ethereum. It doesn't matter. It is, all of that is irrelevant to your node. Your validating node doesn't give one shit about any of it. But that's what basically leads to the idea of an economic node. That if it is someone with skin in the game and they are fully validating, then they are a useful market actor. Someone who's spinning up 10,000 nodes is one useful market actor. Like they are one point in the real market. It doesn't matter if on the poll they look like they are 10,000. Just like the difference between a poll and an actual vote is that someone can cheat a poll and make it look like there are 10,000 votes, but when they go to vote, they're still just one. That's the difference between an economic node and a Sybil node, is that the economic node actually has market power. They have market stake as to what the rules are, and they have an incredibly small chance to be worried about, to even know about, or have the slightest clue that the rules are being attempted, that somebody is attempting to change the rules, or that there is even a political campaign to do so in the first place. So an economic actor has economic power. And for a group of people who are staking for a certain set of protocol rules, that makes consensus incredibly strong on what the current rules are. And the clear and simple fact of the matter is that the Bitcoin Cash, the big blocker communities, attempted to change the rules and they couldn't do it. They ran their own validating nodes and attempted to define a different network, which they did. And miners, per the consensus rules, the new consensus rules that those networks established, some miners did go off and decide to produce blocks for those new nodes. But if they intend to have a network that will just never have fully validating nodes, They have no immutability. You can't just say, oh, we're going to put the whole internet on it, and then also it's going to be immutable, because those two things are directly contradictory. They cannot exist at the same time because, and I quote one last time, the immutable part is just an audit history of proof that the past changes followed the consensus rules. It is merely because you can check the history that it is immutable. That is it. It's all just digital points on a database with a clear protocol as to how to reassign and determine the key that owns that value. So I think that would be a really good follow-up to that debate for anyone who still does not understand that. Hopefully that makes it a little bit clearer. I know it's a very nuanced thing and there's a lot to wrap your head around. It does not come easy. It really doesn't. You know, I remember beating my head against the wall trying to figure out what the difference was. But hopefully this kind of articulates it a little bit better than I did in that debate. A huge thank you to a little bit serendipitous that John Carvalho writes this exact article in the last 2 days. And my brother sent it to me immediately and was like, dude, you got to check this one out. And I was like, oh yeah, perfect. And it was spot on and it was what I wanted to talk about today. So perfectly aligned. Do not forget to follow John Carvalho. And I will link to this actual article on Medium. Drop it some major applause because it is very important that we go over this again and again. I know he talks about it. Like, it feels frustrating that we have to do this over and over and over again, but we've got new people coming in all the time. Like, still, so many people do not understand this, and it is critically important that we never let that ignorance threaten what is the consensus rules. And that's exactly how that happens. If people constantly get dumped in here and don't get the picture, it is our obligation to teach this thing and to understand, to get people to understand what it means. That's one of our barriers. That's one of the ways that our full nodes, our fully validating nodes, help to protect and define this network, is if we make it known to others how important that role is within the network and within the consensus rules to define the market explicitly. And that's what a node does. So if the market determines the price, well, then the nodes determine the market. With that, we will go ahead and get out of here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, don't forget to follow Bitcoin Error Log on Twitter. I will tag him, link to the article so you can drop some applause. And of course, don't forget to check out bitrefill.com. So much great stuff on that service. They really are wonderful. So thank you guys for listening. This is the Crypto Economy. Don't forget that if you want to support my work in teaching all of these ideas and reading all of the best Bitcoin work so that it has the audio version it deserves, please consider becoming a patron. In fact, I've had a couple new patrons very recently, and because a couple of people have been a little bit unhappy that I said their names on the show, Bad OPSEC and all, I will not say their names, but thank you guys so much for becoming patrons to the show. It makes a huge difference, and I cannot thank you enough. So if you also want to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/thecryptoeconomy, and you will also get access to the Crypto Economy Crew Telegram chat, where we bullshit about all the topics you could possibly imagine around Bitcoin, money, politics, the Federal Reserve, monetary history, Austrian economics, game theory, everything that you can imagine. It's all up for grabs, and we have a really great time over there. So that's a great way to support the show and also get a little bit of bonus at the same time, a thank you, so to speak. But if you can't do that, you can always share it out with everybody you know in the Bitcoin and crypto economy space. Until next time, guys, thank you so much for listening. I love you all, and I will be back here tomorrow with another episode of The Crypto Economy with Guy Swan. And until then, take it easy, guys.